ho! Wake up, everybody. Who was that singing? Show of Vitaly, how'd you know that? How are you? Did you know I was going to speak? Oh, okay, good. So you're all going to stay. So I'm going to talk about supermodel secrets, how to be tall, blonde, long hair, gorgeous. Oh, wait a minute, that's the speaker after me. She is tall and gorgeous, and she does know all the secrets. How many are you here for entertainment? Okay. How many are you here for education? Oh, a whole bunch of you are here for that. How many are you here for, am I saying that right? How many of you are here for enlightenment? Woo-hoo! Yeah, that's the crowd I'm interested in. Yes, I can tell you some jokes. Why'd you make a frown? I said, I'm going to tell some jokes, and you made a frown. It's like, Joe, don't do that. Whatever you do, don't do that. We've heard your jokes. They're not funny. I love Austin, by the way. You know why I love Austin? I live here. I live here. You know why I live here? Because my house is here. And people say, what about the traffic in Austin? And I'll go, no traffic. We got a lot of cars occasionally, but no traffic. So, yes, I can entertain you. I can educate you. I've written 50-some books. More books than most people have read since they graduated from high school. I've had people say, Joe, we really like your books, but would you slow down? Give us a chance to catch up. Okay, I got to slow down on the books. What do I do now? But enlightenment. I really believe that we're here to awaken. We're here to find out what life is all about and to become one with it. Yes, we can be entertained. Yes, we can be educated. But I think really the most important thing is actually to be enlightened, to awaken. That's what this is all about. That's what I'm here for. When they invited me to speak, and I thought, what can I talk about to these people? They can go read my books, which I'll keep telling you over and over again until you go read my books. And you can listen to audios and so forth. What can I tell you? And I thought, I really want to be of help to you. I really want to be of service to you. I really want to make a difference in your life. I know that some of you are struggling right now. I won't ask you to raise your hand because you're in a place where you may be embarrassed to do that. I know that a lot of you have some goals and some desires and some things you want to attract and attain in your life, call them goals or wishes, manifestations, and you haven't had them happen yet. I know that you've also had success. You've also managed to attract some things. But deep down, there's a discomfort. There's an unhappiness. There's an unsatisfaction because you're wondering, what's wrong? Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with the system? Does this stuff actually work? And what I want to do is show you what really works. I want to be a person who provides at least two or three techniques to you today in the short period of time that I have that'll help you achieve the results that you want, be happy now, and actually move towards that state of enlightenment. I actually wrote a book called Instant Manifestation because you're already manifestors. You are instantly doing it. You manifested this moment. You manifested me. I wasn't going to come, but with 2,000 people manifesting me, I couldn't resist. I had to show up. Congratulations to all of you for doing that. You manifested Hay House. Hay House travels all over the country, if not the world, putting on these wonderful I Can Do It events. As far as I know, this is their first time to come to Austin. You've manifested that. You're doing good. And I heard just a little while ago that they're going to come back. Hay House is going to come back to Austin next year. You're manifesting that. So what I'm going to invite you to do is to think about how are you manifesting all of these things right now? How did you manifest this moment? What did you do? What did you think? How did you act to bring this moment here? You're doing fantastic. Look at the wonderful people here. This is amazing. The energy is off the charts. The people putting off this event are incredible. These are beings of light that are making a difference. You are here amongst them. You are doing this. What I've said in some of my courses and my miracles coaching program and some other places is that in general, what you're thinking and feeling right now will manifest in 3 days. Did you know that? What you're thinking and feeling right now will manifest in 3 days. You all okay with what's going to come about in 3 days? Do you want to change your mind about anything? Yes. I heard a yes over here. Most of the time it takes 3 days. Why? You have a chance to change your mind. There's a default system in place that will allow you the opportunity to change your mind. So if you send out a signal, you send out an order that says, I want such and such to take place, you may find with a little bit more awareness, a little bit more enlightenment, that you really don't want that, or it's not in your best interest. You got 3 days to change your mind, change your thoughts, change your feelings, change what you're doing. This is part of the clue that I want you to get today. Because I don't have very much time with you, but I want to make sure I give you two or three really practical things you can do, because I want you to move to the state of awakening, to the state of enlightenment. I care about you. I love all of you, and you are welcome. Whoever just said thank you. Thank you. The person who didn't want to hear my jokes just said she loves me. You love everything about me but my jokes. I got your number. All kidding aside, thank you. Thank you. No, I love you. I want to help you. I want to give you what really works. So first of all, how many have read the book Zero Limits? Yeah, if you read the book Zero Limits, your life has probably been changed and turned inside out. There's a reason there's a whiteboard up here. The presenters didn't want to put one up here. They said, if you write anything on it, nobody's going to see it. And I said, perfect. I don't want them to see anything on the whiteboard. This whiteboard, to me, is a symbol. It represents divinity. It represents enlightenment. It represents the witness that's behind your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your body, even in this moment. The challenge is all of us have a whole lot of things written on our whiteboard, most of which we didn't do ourselves. Most of which came in when we were born. The science of epigenetics says that we have a lot of programming that came from our great-great-grandfather and great-great-grandmother. You were born into it. Lucky us. So there's all that data, there's all that programming. Then there's all the stuff downloaded when we're born from family, friends, parents, well-meaning school systems, religion, government, all of that. And all of that is just covering up the whiteboard. How do you return to source? How do you return to your essence? I mean, really, how do you return? Anybody know? You know? What?
Clear it all off.
Where's that term coming from? She probably read Zero Limits. So about 10 years ago, I had heard this amazing story about a therapist who helped heal an entire ward of mentally ill criminals. And he helped heal them using something very unusual. First of all, he didn't see them and do traditional therapy. And second of all, this was a place, this hospital, this place for mentally ill criminals was so despicable, so hellish, that the patients were sedated or shackled every single day. The people that worked there would walk down their halls sliding with their back against the wall so nobody would attack them, so they would have a chance to get away. Patients, doctors, other doctors that were there would quit within a very short period of time saying, we can't work in this environment. The hospital, in order to keep its funding, had to have a doctor on staff. So they went looking for a doctor. Any doctor. Do we have a doctor in the house? Anybody that would take this job and do it so they can get their funding. This therapist said, I'll do it, but I want to do my own method of therapy. And what he did, in a nutshell, was unconditionally love them by unconditionally loving himself. Now, I hope that you get this frame. This is a hospital for mentally ill criminals who have to be sedated or shackled. Nobody else wants to work there. It is a hellish place. This therapist goes there and says, I will work there. I will get the paycheck. You'll be able to get your funding, but I want to do my own brand of therapy. What does he do? He looks at their folders, and as he feels whatever the folders trigger in him, these are violent criminals. They're rapists, they're murderers, they've done things we can't even imagine. He's looking at the folders, and so he's being triggered. Rage, shame, anger, embarrassment, helplessness, frustration, everything is going on being triggered by the folder. As he's feeling this, he does his method, his therapy, on himself. This is the punchline. He does it on himself. Why? I went on a quest to find this therapist. I did. We ended up co-authoring the book Zero Limits together. His name is Dr. Hulin. And Dr. Hulin told me this whole incredible story. And I said, how is it possible that you were working on yourself, clearing yourself, cleaning yourself, which I'll explain in a second, and the patients are starting to get better? He started doing this, and within a few months, those patients that had to be shackled or sedated, they were no longer being shackled or sedated. A few months after that, some of them were being released. Within 4 years, almost all of them were released from there, and that ward was closed. How is this possible? So I am asking Dr. Hulin about this, and he said something. All of you have heard this phrase. You probably heard it here this weekend. Have you ever heard, you create your own reality? Yeah. Of course, you create your own reality. He asked me if I heard that. Of course I've heard that. I made bumper stickers out of it. I've written books on that subject. I stand up on soapboxes and say, yes, you create your own reality. And he said, well, if you create your own reality, and a mentally ill criminal is in front of you, didn't you create them too? There's a whole bunch of people passing out in the front row. Yeah, it is a whoa. My brain melted down because he introduced an idea of personal responsibility I had not grasped before. It's real easy to say you create your own reality and draw boundaries and say, well, I didn't create my neighbor. I didn't create my family member. You know, I didn't create the politician or the president or whoever is out there that you are thinking are the blame. It's real easy to say, I create my own reality right here, right in this little box, this little world. And forget that the reality you created includes everybody else in your world. That's your reality. You with me? This is a head-bending concept. At first, a lot of people resist it. My book, Zero Limits, has been the number one best-selling book for me and the number one most controversial book I've written for me. Why? The subject of personal responsibility frees a whole lot of people. It'll free you because you're of that mentality. You've come here to this event because of the nature of how you're already thinking. So you'll accept responsibility, but most people won't. Most people are going to draw a little line in the sand and say, I accept responsibility up to there. So Dr. Hulin demonstrated in the most unimaginable, unforgettable, powerful, amazing way that when he looked at their charts, it wasn't about them. Do you get that? It wasn't about them. When you look out the window of your soul and you see your neighbors and you see your coworkers, or you see anybody in your family, anybody that's pushing your buttons, it's not about them. The buttons are in you. When he looked at the folders, he realized it wasn't that patient. It was what the patient triggered in him. It was a co-creation, a dance of energies, if you will. So he worked to clean the buttons in him. I'm going to tell you a big secret here. Some of you know that I was homeless at one point. I was in poverty for the very long time. Now I live the lifestyle of the rich and famous, and I get to be on stage here, you know, in front of all of you. Is this amazing or what? But thank you. Thank you. But how? How is that possible? The secret I've found is that the clearer you are inside, the faster you manifest what you want outside. I'm pausing for dramatic emphasis here. The clearer you are inside of the buttons, of the interference, of the data, of the programming, of the belief system, of the negativity, all that stuff I said is on the whiteboard covering up divinity. The clearer you get inside, the faster the things that you want appear. That three-day rule I was talking about gets condensed. Very often I experience what is called instant manifestation, instantly, because I got no interference for the thing that I want to manifest. Most of you do. How many of you want to attract more money? Almost everybody. Okay, consciously you think one thing. Consciously you think, I want more money, and you probably got a noble reason for it. You want to pay your bills, take care of your family, take care of your friends. Maybe there's causes you believe in. You want to direct some money there. So you have a very noble reason for wanting more money into your life. How come it doesn't come? Or how come it only comes in just enough to survive? Just enough to squeak by? How come? I'm going to say a sentence. I won't even have to finish it because you'll all finish it. It's in your unconscious mind. The love of money is the root of... So, if you're trying to attract money consciously, but unconsciously you think it's evil, you going to want any? No. You're not going to want it in your life. And while I'm mentioning it, money's not evil. Money's neutral. We project, much like everybody else, we project all kind of meaning on the things we want and don't want. And in general, we attract the things we really love or the things we really hate or the things we really fear. Why? That's where we put all of our energy. There's usually a collection of data, all of these beliefs, again, blocking divinity, that's in your unconscious mind. So how do you get rid of it? Simplest way in the world, and I write about it in Zero Limits. It's what Dr. Hulen taught me. It's what Dr. Hulen did with those patients. He would look at their files. He would look at their files, and he would say four phrases. Not to himself, not to a patient, but to his concept of God, divinity, all that is, higher power, higher consciousness, Gaia, whatever word you accept in your paradigm. And the four phrases are, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. That's it. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I've been doing this for 10 years now, so when I'm walking around up here, my mind is saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. It's a new background chatter. Why am I doing it? So I can clear myself, so I can be here now to allow divinity to come through and help you, as it also helps me. I'm doing my best to clear any limiting beliefs, data, negativity, so we can manifest the miracles that are actually already here. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. How in the world does that work? Four phrases. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. You know, right? Okay, don't tell anybody. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. So what we're really saying is things like the shorthand version, I'm going to extend it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I have been unaware. I was so excited to come here that I got my hair cut yesterday. Why is that funny? See, they do think I'm funny. She says, you look great. Thank you. And I went to this place, it's Austin-based, called Sports Clips, and they massage you, and they put a hot towel over your face, and I was pretty much delirious by the time it was done, because I was so relaxed. I just went for a haircut. I'm bald. It doesn't take long. But they did all this extra stuff, and I said, do you make sure you trim my eyebrows and my ears? And she said, I did your eyebrows. And for a moment, I was embarrassed, because I never noticed. I never noticed. And I thought she was kidding. I had to look in the mirror and go, oh, yeah, she did. Then we went shopping, and Narissa bought some clothes. And we went home, and she went in the back room and came back out and said, how do I look? And I thought, what'd she change? And I thought, you look great. She said, really? And I said, who knows why? I said, nothing will fall out now. And she said, what happened to you when you got your hair cut? I said, I don't know. The point is, we are virtually unconscious almost all the time. You know, in a humorous way with a haircut or a spouse changing, whatever it happens to be. When you say, I'm sorry, you're saying, I'm sorry, I don't know what the belief is or was in me that attracted this event or attracted this person. So Dr. Hulen's looking at the folders and being appalled. He's basically saying, I'm sorry for whatever is in me that co-created this person and this experience. Now, some people object to saying, I'm sorry, like, I didn't do anything. And I think you should say, I'm sorry on that very thought, because we're all responsible. And taking that power back is how we get the ability to create and recognize miracles and move towards enlightenment. But I'm sorry, it's much like it, you're at a store and you're walking along and you bump into somebody. I'm sorry. That's it. It's not about guilt. It's not about blame. It's not about whipping yourself. It's realizing I was unconscious. That's all. I'm sorry I was unconscious. Please forgive me for anything I or my ancestors might have done. Going back to this programming that comes in when we're born goes way back. It's not just from now, not just from this birth. It goes back who knows how many lifetimes. So we come in with a whole bunch of programming. And what happens is that we say, please forgive me. I don't know where it came from, but I'm sorry. We say, thank you for removing it. Thank you for clearing up this data. Thank you for clearing up this mess. Thank you for clearing up the belief system. Thank you for healing me. Thank you. My favorite, I love you. Because it looks like if there's any word to describe source, divinity, the whiteboard, if there's any word to describe it, it's love. And when I say love, I'm talking about unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. When we say I love you to divinity, we're moving internally to a state of oneness again. So when you're saying I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you, you are using the open sesame to erase the data. Follow? This is hugely important because if you're looking around wondering why haven't I attracted what I wanted or the person that I want or the money that I want or the house that I want or the job that I want or the business that I want, whatever it happens to be, more often than not, there's a limiting belief in you. If it's all about personal responsibility, it's got to be in you. Dr. Hulen has this great little line that he says, have you ever noticed that when you have a problem, you are there? Everybody laughs, but it is so accurate. When you have a problem, you are there. And I want to quickly run in and say, this is not about blame. I know I said that, but too many people go and use that. They whip themselves with it. It's about awakening. It is about awakening. So Zero Limits is one of the techniques that I wanted to talk to you about. And again, it's in this book. And I wanted to mention that there's a couple clearing techniques in the book itself. And I forgot what page number they're on, but I think it's, there they are, 120 and 121. There are clearing techniques. In other words, you can look at this symbol and meditate on it while thinking about what it is that you want to attract or what problem it is that you want to dissolve. There's another one on page 120 that Dr. Hulen said is a clearing tool. It's right here. In my mind, and I never said this before, but I've seen too many people read this book and have their lives changed that I have to say it. This book is a clearing technique. I say put it under your pillow. Sleep with the book. I don't even care if you read it. I already told you the essence of the story. You don't need to read the book. And they're making if you want to get really lazy, they're making a movie out of this. You can wait till the movie comes out. I see you like that idea. And also, when the movie comes out, some of my original music will be the soundtrack. Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. Which leads to the other thing I want to talk about. So Zero Limits is one of the things I wanted to mention. But I wanted to mention, especially since they said that's what I was going to talk about, the remembering process. I'm a very lucky guy, you know. To have the kind of life I've had and struggles to now living the cream cheese existence, whatever that means, I just made it up. I don't even know what that means. I've learned to trust my unconscious mind, even when it says something like that. I don't know. People are listening to songs. I've written five albums now, about 30 songs, and they're listening and they're going, where do you get these ideas? I don't really know. They're just coming to me. So I'm a really lucky guy because I managed to meet some people that have really transformed me. One was Dr. Hulen and Zero Limits, the four phrases, Ho'oponopono, that Hawaiian healing technique that's described in the book. That has profoundly influenced me. I do it all the time. I'm doing it right now with you to help all of you, especially the ones in the front row. Yeah. People in the front row always come earlier, you know, so I want to make sure they get extra. Yeah. I'm doing it for the ones in back there too. And so meeting Dr. Hulen really influenced me. 2.5 years ago, I decided I wanted to be a musician. Now, you got to stop and think about this because there's probably a parallel in your own life where you decided you wanted to do something. And you may have come up against resistance in yourself. You may have come up against some obstacles, probably in yourself, about how do you do this? When do you do this? Can it even be possible? So I decided I wanted to be a musician because it was on my bucket list, right? My bucket list. I'm looking around going, well, what do I want to do next? I can do almost anything. What do I want to do? I thought, I've always wanted to play music. I knew 3 guitar chords. I'd buy a guitar here and there. Never sang, not even in the shower. Didn't even want to hear myself. Didn't know how to write music. Didn't know how to write a song. No clue. Played a little harmonica, but you know, that's a campfire instrument, you know, nothing really fantastic. I almost brought one though, I was going to play it for you, but I thought, you know, oh, but you wanted a harmonica? Okay, next year. Okay, you come, be in the front row. Okay, I can see that happening. So, no musical experience or anything, and I'm deciding that I want to be a musician. So, the first thing I did is state an intention. I want to be a musician, but not just any old musician, a good one. I wanted to write good songs, songs that people would like to listen to more than once. And I would like to have people compliment me on the music. I'd like to have my own albums done. I would like them to be so good that I would like to listen to them over and over again. So I'm really painting this picture of what I'd really like to have. And I don't have a clue how to do it. I start pulling in people to help me. Guy Monroe was helping me with vocal stuff. Matthew Dixon was helping me with guitar stuff. I got an old friend who had helped me with a publicity event years ago, Daniel Barrett, to help me with the whole production, the whole putting it all together, the whole songwriting. singing, putting the whole package together. And I did a songwriting workshop with Ray Wiley Hubbard and Kevin Welch, which was also fantastic. So you see, I'm taking action. There's really some stuff going on here. But I found writing songs to be impossible. My head was around writing books. A song is like 3 minutes or less. And if it's really good, it's a good story, it's got a hook, it's something you want to listen to, hum to yourself. How do you do that? I didn't know. So I'm sitting with Daniel Barrett one time. I'll never forget it, because he said, he saw my struggle, and he said, it's easier to remember than to create. It's easier to remember than to create. And I said, what? That makes no sense. It makes no sense. What? It's easier to remember what? So we went on this whole dialogue where we started to explore the nature of time and parallel universes and what's in the future as well as what's in the past. And we started to come to the conclusion that my songs were already written in the future. They're already written. What I needed to do was go past the point, turn around, and remember them. Now, I call this an advanced visualization technique, and we have a book called The Remembering Process. Hay House is publishing it probably later in the year. Daniel and I have written this, and it's phenomenal because it's going to stretch your mind but give you a technique you can use. And I call it an advanced visualization technique because most people sit here and they visualize what they want. So it's out in the future. The remembering process is you go past the point of its manifestation to the other side of the stage and come back and remember how did you do it. And like with any memory, at first it's a little vague. It's like you all probably went to sixth grade, seventh grade, second grade, somewhere in there, but you don't remember all the details. When you start to focus on it, it'll start to come into clarity. And they go, oh yeah, I remember the school now, and I think I had that teacher, and I remember that teacher's name. So I started doing that with songs. Before I came out here, after that sweet little introduction, they played 2 minutes of my very first song, Today's the Day, off my first CD, Today's the Day. It came out of nowhere, yet it came out of the future. I have 5 albums done now. I was recently voted number 1 singer-songwriter in the South Austin area. I've been in Rolling Stone magazine, Texas magazine. Some of the songs are being used for the movie of Zero Limits. 10 of the songs have been nominated for positive, it's POSI awards, which are positive music awards. I've come out of nowhere with this stuff. How am I doing this? And believe me, it is not about me. It is not about my music. I didn't bring any music. I'm not selling any music. This is about you. So let me tell you this in a different way. Science has been mind-boggling in what it's been discovering. Recently, they discovered 160 more planets. Did you know that? 160. Might have been 159, but we're going to round it off to 160. 160 more planets. Now, here's where it gets interesting. One of the planets has life on it. That other planet has identical life to Earth. That other planet, because of time travel and the black holes and warps, is 6 months ahead of this one. Cool. She likes it. Cool. Okay, so there's another planet. It is Earth. It's the other Earth. It's the future Earth. And everything, everybody is identical. You're there. You are there on the other planet. You know how I know? Richard Branson is already selling tickets, and I've been there. Yep. There's a 2-for-1 deal going on. I think you have to get it by Friday. I don't remember. But so, there's another Earth that's 6 months ahead. You're already on it, which means what? The problems, the challenges, the things you want to attract, the things you are worried about right now are already dissolved. They're dissolved and they're resolved and they are over. They are history. Is that cool or what? It's history. So, if all the answers to what's concerning you right now are already handled on the other planet, and you could take a flight there, Richard Branson's flight, you could take that, but you can also use the mental telephone and call up the other you. Skype you on the, that's right, you on the other planet. And ask them, can you remind me how we handled whatever the issue was? In my case, I'd call up the other Joe, who's a superstar on the other planet, you know. He's on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. He sent me a photo of it. See, it's right here. Rolling Stone, I know you can see it in the front. He said it opened up all kinds of doors for him, and he's had a great life. So you can Skype him. You can Skype the other person. You can Skype the other you 6 months ahead on that other planet, and you can do it now. So if you're with me, mentally, you go in to the future, and you remember how you handled the issues that are concerning you right now. In my case, I went into the future and I saw songs that were written. I couldn't see them clearly. Again, this is the remembering process. It's not precise, but it opens your mind. And there's some cool psychological things that go on, including there's an underlying assumption that it already happened. Right? If you're remembering that you got that romance you wanted or the job or the money or whatever it is, you're remembering it, it had to have happened. Else you can't remember it. So there's a built-in underlining assumption that this is already taking place. This is the remembering process. This is what Daniel Barrett taught me, and this is what we're still using. I said I got 5 albums done. Do you realize how incredible that is? Are there any we're in Austin. Are there any musicians in the house? Usually every hand would go up. Most people who do any studio work realize that it sometimes takes weeks to months, if not years, to do one. You want to hear something else that's cool? When we were going to do the very first album, Daniel, who has all the connections to the music community, said he had a drummer lined up, but at the last minute, the drummer dropped out. And he said he wasn't worried. Plenty of drummers. We're in Austin. Some of you are beating on your chairs right now, so I know that you're drummers. And he said, if you have any ideas, let me know. And I said, man, it's a long shot, but I kind of remember that we got this other guy to do the drumming, and there is a very famous, you're not going to believe me, but this is absolutely the truth, there's a very famous drummer. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's been the drummer for Neil Young and Sammy Hagar and every rock and roll great since about the 70s. And his name is the same as mine. Joe Vitale. Parallel universes do exist right here on this planet. This is real. And I said, it's probably a long shot because I've never met the guy, never talked to the guy, never seen the guy, never exchanged anything with the guy. Daniel was for it. So I sent an email to him. And the other Joe Vitale writes back and says, I am traveling before your recording dates and I'm traveling after your recording dates. I can be there for your recording. And he is the drummer on the song that you heard, Today's the Day. And he has been the drummer on every one of my CDs. Is that cool? This is the kind of stuff that takes place when you start deleting all the interference. Because the interference is what's preventing the miracles. The stuff that you're wanting to manifest and attract, the data, the interference between you and divinity is what's causing the problem. When you say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, you're starting to delete all of that. That's so incredible. Because now you get to live this moment by moment sense of wonder. And everything is in a state of awe. And you become grateful for every moment. And techniques start to show up, new techniques, like the remembering process, as far as I know, nobody's ever talked about. Nobody's ever done it. This is something Daniel's been doing since he was a kid, and Daniel taught me, and he's been teaching other people in his artist development program. And I have another surprise for you. Do you mind if I give you surprises now and then? Okay, is that all right? Somebody said no. They're good surprises. They're good surprises. Daniel Barrett lives in Austin. He is the lead singer for the band Porter Davis, award-winning blues, rock, Americana kind of band. And he's here. I bet I can get him to stand up and take a bow. Daniel, stand up. That's Daniel Barrett. So I said that I would give you two or three techniques. We're at the point now where I'm putting all my notes down. It's like, the hell with that. I'm done doing the entertaining part, and I'm done doing the educating part. Let's do the enlightenment part. Anybody for that? So when I put this up here, this is divinity to me. Divinity is a whiteboard. I say whiteboard because if I say God, too many people rush in with all kind of imagery, all kind of assumptions and emotions. It's a whiteboard. Where is this whiteboard in you? Okay, right now, as you're listening to me, you have thoughts. You have thoughts. You're not your thoughts. Some part of you is witnessing the thoughts. You are watching the thoughts. You are observing the thoughts. If you're not the thoughts, and you're somehow detached from them, you're behind them, who are you? Right now you have emotions. A lot of people get moved to tears because of the Zero Limit story and Ho'oponopono and Dr. Hulin. You may have had an emotional reaction to that. You may be exhilarated because of the remembering process and what Daniel and I are putting in the book that will be coming out later in the year. That may free you. The whole idea of a parallel universe and a you on another earth 6 months ahead who's already resolved the concerns that you've been worried about right now, they're already done, they're over with. That could be thrilling you, which is cool. But you're having the thrill. You're having the emotion. You're detached from the emotion. You're behind the emotion. You're observing the emotion. You're witnessing the emotion. If you're not the emotion, and you're not the thoughts, what are you? You're in a body. You may or may not feel attached to the body. You may or may not have some aches and pains or a few cramps or things that you want to move around a little bit to feel more at ease. But you notice, you have a body. You can experience this body. You are somehow observing this body. If you're not your body, you're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, who or what are you? I am submitting to you that that background observer is divinity, is the whiteboard. You get to do two things when you know this. One is, divinity is so loving, you can make requests. You can send in requests to divinity, to essence, to the witness. I would like to have, do, or be whatever happens to be the thing for you. And there are a wide variety of ways to make that really take anchor. So one thing you can do is make a request. The other thing you can do is receive a request from divinity. How many of you have seen the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? Most of you. It's worth seeing. It came out before the movie The Secret, and if you haven't seen The Secret, you should see that. And the man who did the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know, Will Arns, is a friend of mine at this point. And we've talked about various projects. And he and I were talking one time, I think we were in Canada, up in the mountains, and we were just conversing about life. And I said, what's your next big project? You know, what's the next movie? What's the next thing you're going to be working on? And he said, I haven't received my marching orders yet. And I related to that, because when I wrote Zero Limits, this was more than a good idea. This was a mission for me. I wouldn't say I was obsessed, but I was close to possessed. It's one of those where I knew that this story, if it were true, and at first I didn't know it, and at first I didn't believe it, I knew that if this were actually true, this could transform lives forever. This would change the game. It's not about victimhood anymore. It never really was, but most of us bought into it as we were growing up. Now it's about awakening. It's about responsibility. When I went to write this book, I'll tell you another inside story here. Do you mind if I share an inside story? Do you mind? Okay. As long as you don't mind, I'm okay. I wrote this book in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Why? It was several years ago. I think this came out in 05. I'm not remembering precisely. But it was in the first couple of weeks of that December before Christmas. I sat down and I really felt like it was coming through me. I just started writing it. I felt like I was almost a stenographer. I felt like I was receiving this from divinity. And I swear to goodness, I would be looking at this book and writing it, and if I had any question, I would just check in and go, what should I say there? And something would come. It didn't come from here. It didn't come from Joe's brain. It came from something deeper. This is where I say inspiration comes from. I talk about intentions all the time, but anymore I say intentions are for wimps. Intentions are for wimps. You think small usually when you state an intention, because an intention is stated out of your ego consciousness about what you think is possible. Inspiration can blow your socks off, because inspiration comes from the database of divinity where anything is possible. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. Your ego has all kinds of limits and boundaries. So, yeah, I still like intentions, but I know there's a built-in limitation. I interviewed Bill Phillips just last week. He's the guy who did the Body for Life contest 10 years ago, made this gigantic fitness empire worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And I said, when you started, did you have a goal or an intention? He said, we never, ever could have predicted that it was going to make $300 million. We never had a business plan because it would have limited what was possible. Do you get that? When he went to go sell the company, it was so big he didn't want to manage it anymore, and so people wanted to buy it. They said, how much do you want for the company? He wrote down the most preposterous number he could think of. Comes from your ego, right? He wrote down the most preposterous number you can think of, knowing they're probably going to say no way and he gets to keep the company. They looked at that number and said, we'll pay you twice that. Twice that! When you come from your ego, the intentions we go and state are usually limiting. They can be fun. I still like them. But I'd rather come from inspiration, which comes from the database. Not the data, which is the stuff you're deleting, but the database, which is divinity, comes from the whiteboard. So I wrote this book in 2 weeks, and I sent it to Dr. Hulan, who's the co-author here, for his review. He blessed it really quickly. Now here's the kicker. I don't think I've ever told this to anybody before. So the book is not printed. It is listed on Amazon, because the publisher listed it on Amazon where you can go and make a pre-order for the book. But I just finished writing the book. I haven't sent it to the publisher. Over that Christmas, while I still had the manuscript, the book became a bestseller. How? I'm here to tell you, folks, miracles are happening all the time. Right now, this is a miracle. Sometimes I don't even like to speak anymore because it's like I have to tell some jokes, I have to entertain you, I have to educate you a little bit, but what I really want to do is get to the place where I say, do you realize how good you have it? Do you realize the gift of life itself? Do you realize that the air you're breathing in, you're not paying for? Do you realize that this planet is keeping you alive and you're not having to pay a bill to it? Do you realize that your life itself is a freaking gift? Do you realize that this moment is absolutely perfect? I know there's things you want. I know there's things that you want to attract into your life. Those are the future moments, and those are coming. Those are coming. They come faster when you move into this moment and you truly embrace it and say, oh, thank you. and mean it. I was the guy that I would go to all the free workshops when I was homeless and in poverty and all that, and they would all say, practice gratitude. And I'd say, give me something to be grateful for, and I'll practice gratitude. You go first. Until one day I picked up a pencil, a number two stupid little lead pencil. And I said, okay, I'll start with that. Okay, a pencil. I can be grateful for this. Yeah, I can write a suicide note with that. Yeah. I can write the grocery list with that. Okay, I can do that. I can write a movie with that. I can write a poem. I can write a love song. I can write the great American novel. I can write letters. I can write, oh. I started to get more excited. That pencil was pretty cool. Nothing in my world changed. I'm changing me by focusing on what I'm grateful for in this moment. I take the same pencil and I look and go, an eraser. Who invented the eraser? Is that brilliant or what? Now I can erase the suicide note. I can erase, you know, all that other crap I didn't really want. It's all about being in this moment. I'm really trying to get across the idea that this is the point of power. This is the miracle you were looking for. You know, when you were thinking about coming to the Hay House event and you were hearing, you didn't know I was going to talk. You were here to see Sarah about the supermodel tips. She's getting ready. She's in the back. She'll be out here. I know that you're all thinking about that. But all kidding aside, this is the moment you were like waiting for. This is it. All those other moments are gone. They're memories. When you reflect on them, they'll be part of this moment. And the future moments, we can play with mental techniques and we can talk about what we're going to do in the future and what we're going to create in the future. And we do have incredible power to mold and remember and clean the future. It'll be the moment here and now when it gets here. The more you can be in this moment, be grateful for this moment, clean and clear this moment. And you can do fun things like remember what the other guy, the other Joe on the other planet 6 months from now is doing and include it in this moment. But when you accept this moment, you love this moment and everything in it, every other moment transforms. When I did that number two pencil thing, I was broke, I was homeless, I was in a little room, I wasn't homeless, I was in poverty, I was in a little room and a toilet was in the same room, it was, no guests came over, totally uncomfortable. It was not a pleasant experience, but I started the gratitude there and I found as many times and reasons to be grateful ever since. And you know what life is like today? Tonight when I go home, I'm getting in my hot tub. Under the Texas sky, and I am going to look at the stars, and as I'm looking, this resembles it a bit, I'm going to say, thank you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and I will practice gratitude that entire time. So my message today isn't about techniques, it isn't about books, it isn't about music, it isn't about all the bells and whistles and fun little things we can do. It's about being happy now, appreciating this moment now, being in the miracle that is right here. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love Austin. Wow, look at this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I love all of you. I love all of you. Expect miracles. I'll see you at the book signing.